So I want you to take note of that. Also around the world, they already have the technology and they're pushing towards this one world monetary system they're trying to do. They already have chips and implants. I watched a video where one woman is trying to talk it up how cool it was, the trendy thing to do, to have this implant in your skin where it's got, you know, information. It can hold and contain information. Bitcoin. There's all sorts of stuff out there. It's all in preparation for this one world monetary system. And the Antichrist is going to try to force it on the whole world. He's not going to completely succeed, because God's going to intervene again to protect Israel. He's going to send in people from the north and from the east, according to Daniel. That's going to keep the Antichrist occupied till the end of the tribulation period. And eventually he does overcome many of these kingdoms, but it's not towards right at the end of the tribulation period, and that's just in time for Christ to come in and destroy him anyways. So he never actually succeeds at his real goal, which is to completely annihilate Israel, which you think would be possible to be done. But again, the reason it does not happen is because God sends in other armies from the north and from the east. They come in like a flood, and they hinder his plan, and they keep him very, very occupied. Very occupied. He does overcome some. He gets these different, these 10 kings to give him his authority to rule and reign for a period of time. We'll talk about that later on. And I'll tell you the end result is he does not ever succeed in his goal. Amen. And his whole kingdom gets plunged into darkness. And people gnaw their tongues in agony. And they curse the God of heaven because of their plagues and their sores, their pains and their sores. And it's not going to go over well for him. But he is going to have a powerful effect. He is going to have a powerful effect on the earth. And it does warn in Revelation chapter 14 that anyone who receives the mark of the beast is going to go to hell. They're going to burn forever and ever. Anyone who takes that mark, there is no repentance from the mark. The reason I say that is because there is one particular big name out there that's preaching that God will forgive the mark of the beast. He does not forgive that mark. Why did he say that? Because the scripture says that anyone, there's an angel that flies over the earth and he warns everyone, he proclaims in a loud voice, anyone who receives the mark of the beast or worships his image or receives the mark of his name will be tormented with burning sulfur day and night. He's a tormentor. Their torment of their burning goes up forever and ever. There's no rest day or night for those who receive the mark of the beast or worship his image, he says. So we need to be obedient to God. If for some reason, anybody listening online, you cannot take that mark. It's unfortunate if you don't make it in the rapture, but we need to obey God fully. Amen? Amen. God has provided a way out of what's about to come on the earth. When is it going to happen? Very, very soon. Why do you say that? Because the book of Revelation said it over 2,000 years ago. All the apostles made mention of it. Very, very soon. Very, very soon. Jesus said, you will not know the day or the hour, but he said, you will know the season. He said, look at the tree, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. He said, even so, when you see all these earthquakes, roaring and tossing of the sea, I know there's not much going on over here. Look at, study world weather around the world, what's happening. We had an ice tsunami in Minnesota last year. An ice tsunami in Minnesota. It destroyed a whole bunch of houses. Constant roaring and tossing of the sea. Hurricanes of greater force. You know, just a few years back, I think it was 4 or 5 years back, I watched it on the news. There were 30-something tornadoes in Madison at one time. 30 of them. 300 in one day. 300 in one day, she said. So there's abnormal weather patterns. Jesus said, watch. He said, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. He was saying, watch the signs so you'll be ready and know the season he's coming. It's that season. Jesus is coming very, very soon. And just like it was in the days of Noah, when nobody believed Noah, so it is in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. He said, scoffers will come, say, where is this coming? You promised. Everything just goes on normal. But let me tell you something. Jesus said it will be that way. He's coming very, very soon. We need to be ready. I am ready. I hope that you are. We need to stay ready. He said we should be ready. He said, who then is a faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? He said, it'll be good for that one that the master finds him ready when he returns. He said, I tell you the truth, they'll put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that manager is wicked and says to himself, my master's a long time in coming. Then he begins to eat and drink with drunkards and beat his maid and men servants. He says the master of that servant, the master of that servant will come in a day or an hour. He does not expect him and he is not aware of. He will assign him place with the hypocrites where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, therefore be ready, keep watch, like one ready to open the door for his master when he returns. You should be like that one standing at the door. You're doing everything exactly the way he ordained for your life. I don't even know what God's called me to do. Start praying and start seeking God. Because he talked about those. He said that the people in his day thought the kingdom of heaven was going to come at once. So he told them a parable and said, look, a man had 10 talents. He gave he entrusted his talents to 10 of his different servants. And told them, said, put this money to work until I return. One of them went to work and he came back. And at the end he had 10 talents. Another one came back at 5. Another one took his talent and hid it in the ground. That, let me warn you, is the majority of claiming Christianity. They've hid the talent in the ground. They're not doing what God has ordained them to do. And as a result, they're going to be left here. A lot of the so-called claiming Christians are really just hypocrites. Jesus said it would happen. I don't even have to tell you it happened. If you read your Bible, he said the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And then he showed you that there would be a mixture of good and bad. He said, but there will come a time where there's going to be a division that's going to come to play. He also told you that in the parable of the 10 virgins that the 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. They all had the information. They all knew what they should be doing, but 5 of them did not get ready. We need to be ready for His Christ coming. The main message when it came to end times, if you were to break it down in just one explanation of the whole thing, Jesus is saying, be alert, be ready, and be about your Father's business. It's that simple. How do we do that? We live a holy life. We turn from our lifestyle sin. We don't sleep around. We don't do drugs. We don't drink alcohol. We don't cuss and swear and act like the world does. We try to live a holy life. How are we going to do that? By God's empowerment. We can't do it on our own. We do it by meditating our Bible and staying close to God. You're going to become like who you hang around with the most. He said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He said, do not be deceived. He said, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. And another place he said, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, that's selfishness. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He said, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The first one I quoted was 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. The second one I quoted was Galatians 5, 19 through 21. He said, to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He said, because of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. He said, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and swearing. Filthy language from your lips. He said, don't lie to each other since you've taken off your old self as practices and put on the new self which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. That's Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Verse 12, he says, therefore as God's chosen people holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Bear with each other. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Amen. He said, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. But he said, do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. He said, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch how you'll be destroyed by each other. That's Galatians 5:13-15. Then verse 16, he says, and so I say to you, live by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. He said, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. He said, they're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Really what he's saying is if you're dabbling around in sin, you become its slave. You're not going to be able to obey God. You're either in or you're out. There is no in-between. You're either obeying God fully or you're dabbling around in sin. And if you're dabbling around in sin, it's going to pull you all the way in. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. He said, I love God. I really love God, though. No, you don't. Not unless you're obedient. He said, for this is the love of God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3, that's the love of God. He says, the man that says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands, is a liar. 1 John 2:4. I know him, sitting in the bars, sleeping around outside of marriage. You don't know him. The man who says, I know him, doesn't do what he commands, is a liar. He said, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. In other words, sex is for marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Amen? Amen? He said to flee sexual immorality. That means pull up your pants and run out of the room if it got that far. Amen. I'm just telling you like it is. I mean, if it gets that far where you got yourself caught that far in a temptation, you'd be better off doing that than going to hell. Well, I'm not going to go to hell. Jesus said you would. I don't have to tell you. He said in Mark 9:43, he said, if your hand causes sin, cut it off. He said, it's better to enter life maimed than with two hands than to go into hell where the fire never goes out. He said, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. He said, it's better for you to enter life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He said, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a real place. Amen. It's a terrible place. And God does not want anybody to go there. He loves humanity. But you have to understand that sin affects you in a negative way. It affects you. You cannot sin. He tried to warn Adam, don't sin, don't disobey me. Bad things will happen. What did he do? He disobeyed him. The bad things happened. The reason, God's not trying to make you miserable and take your fun away. He wants you to have lots of fun. He wants you to be blessed. But that's only going to happen if you'll obey him. Obey him. It's obedience. He said, this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. If you heard from the beginning, his command is you walk in love. 2 John 6. You know, he said, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life in him. 1 John 3:15. We need to love each other. You know, I just can't seem to break that. Yes, you can. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Because you put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6. Put that armor on. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, he said in Ephesians 6. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We need to be fully obedient to God. God demands full obedience. Full obedience. It says he jealously longs for the Spirit that he placed inside of us. He wants all of you. Why? He deserves it. He gave everything. He gave his only Son. He gave everything. Everything. And burned in hell for 3 days and three nights for you. All he wants back is your whole heart. That's it. Well, I believe there's many ways to God. No. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, the thief The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and life more abundantly. God wants you blessed. It says he gives us all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He wants you to have provision. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have peace in your emotions. He wants you to have complete joy in every way. He wants you to enjoy life and be blessed. God loves you. The reason he doesn't want you to sin is to protect you of its consequences, because you have to go in hell if you remain in rebellion against God's will. We cannot live in rebellion against God. We have to obey him. All we really have to do is walk in love towards ourselves and towards our neighbor. But he loves me so much. If he's sleeping with you outside of marriage, he does not love you. He disrespects you and he's treating you like really bad. So let's make sure our hearts are ready. We need to obey God. Sex is meant for marriage only. Okay? Alcohol, smoking, drinking, all that is works of the flesh. We need to get that out of our lives. He said, if you destroy the temple of God, he'll destroy you. We are his temple. This body is not, we are not our own. We're bought with a price. He said, therefore, honor God with your body. We can't honor him when we're poisoning it with different substances. Amen?